and welcome back to the fifth episode of the Isles Archives podcast. As always, I am Justin Weiss.
I'm Kenny Shear.
And the last time we spoke, which was a bit of a while ago, this team was really shrouded in mystery. It was kind of unclear where they would go. And I think in the time since, they've really solidified their roster. Maybe there are still some question marks on this team. Maybe there are still some moves to be done. But in the meantime, we've kind of seen the Islanders fill out their roster. So Kenny, now that some moves are officially official, you know, the pen has been signed to paper and Lou Lamoriello has consented to this information being released to the rest of the league, what do we know about this Islanders team?
Well, we know it's going to look very similar, yet also different at the same exact time, because while we have new players in Palmieri coming in and Everly leaving, we've never actually seen Palmieri and Anders Lee in the lineup at the same time. So that is something that's completely different. So though we're losing a big offensive player in Everly, we're going to see, you know, what might happen when both those two guys are in the lineup, as well as shoring up our bottom six, making sure that we retain those important players.
The bottom six all starts and ends with Casey Cizikas centering that fourth line. And obviously that was a priority for Lou Lamoriello, not to break up a group that pretty much everybody considers to be the top fourth line in hockey. So he was able to bring him back. He was able to bring Kyle Palmieri, who, like you mentioned, you know, the Islanders lost Jordan Eberle in the expansion draft. It's a little murky who's going to be on Barzal's wing along with Anders Lee. Is it going to be Palmieri? Is it going to be Oliver Wahlstrom? We'll have a discussion about Wahlstrom a little bit later. But Palmieri's interesting. Is he a bottom six guy? Will he play with Pageau again on his wing? That's a question, but he's a guy that they brought back. And then obviously, you know, we had mentioned this in the past. I can't even remember now if it was the podcast that we uploaded or not, but the Islanders traded away Nick Leddy, which was interesting. So they're possibly looking for a second left defenseman. Maybe not. Maybe Lamoriello's fine where things are. It's interesting, you know, it's a very similar team to last year, but in a sense, you know, missing Nick Leddy and missing Jordan Eberle, two guys who have been in this lineup, in this locker room for a long time, it's going to feel a little bit different this year.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I am excited because, like I said, having Palmieri in the lineup just makes us so much more diverse. He's a shooter. And no matter who you put him with, he's going to shoot the puck. And now we've also signed Zach Parise.
Yeah, and Parise, I think, was like the last domino to fall. Everybody in the world predicted it. I don't think there was a single hockey writer who was like, he's going anywhere else. But it's kind of cool to see him practicing, playing right now in blue and orange, you know, memorabilia. That's kind of cool to see. It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I saw that. He's playing in the Beauty League along with Brock Nelson and Kiefer Bellows. Nelson, by the way, having an unreal time there. I don't know how many goals he's had, but I feel like they were tweeting his name every other night. But back on Parise real quick. Yeah, so you saw him in his Islanders gear before they announced the signing and again afterwards, but there was no number or anything like that on the equipment. So we don't have any word on that quite yet.
I actually want to go back. You mentioned Brock Nelson. I think it may have been us who had that conversation in the past. Would it be harder to be like a non-NHLer as a skater shooting on an NHL goalie or as a non-NHL goalie against NHL skaters?
I think we did talk about this, but I don't know if it was in this context or not. I believe it was probably outside of the recording, but I think it's a goalie is so much tougher to be. I mean, you just don't react. You don't have the same coaching. Everything, every aspect of the game is completely different. You don't play as much. These goalies are in the National Hockey League playing every single day. So if you think that someone who's playing in the summer has a bunch of, you know, minor league games, those seasons aren't nearly as long. These guys who come over from Russia and these other, you know, European countries, one of the biggest reasons why it takes them a while is because they're not used to an 82-game season.
Well, that's what almost cracks me up when I see this league, just seeing guys like Brock Nelson. Like, can you imagine not being an NHL goalie and facing his wrister, facing his snapshot? Like, that's crazy to me. I don't know how these guys do it. Kudos to them for even trying. It's very, very cool. But yeah, I mean, it's very cool that Zach Parise following in the footsteps of his father, you know, coming to the island, really rounding out that bottom six, some new faces, some old faces. it'll be really interesting to see this team this season and in the future. And actually talking about the future, you know, something we haven't touched on much is prospects. And so I don't know how much stock I put into this list, but anyway, Corey Pronman of The Athletic ranked all 32 teams' prospect pools, and he ranked the Islanders 27. And the title was that they have promise for the future at the top of the system. Could debate this, I guess, to the end of the earth. I thought something else that was interesting is he released a list of the top 50 prospects in hockey. The Islanders were one of four teams who didn't have anybody on that list. And he also released a list of honorable mentions. And the Islanders were one of three teams not to have a player on that list as well. So obviously the Islanders prospect list isn't one of the top in the league. But as we spoke about before the show, there are guys in the minor leagues who could be a good player.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of guys I like down there, especially ones that are very close to making that step. We mentioned there's a lot of holes in the Isles lineup, and not that we don't have the players to fill them, but we don't know which players are going to fill them. So you have a lot of defensive prospects, especially now that we lost Letty. We have Dobson and Green re-signed, as well as Mayfield, Pelech, Pulock. That leaves two spots open. And we don't even know where Dobson or Green are going to play. I think it's pretty assumed that Pelech and Pulock will make up that first pairing, although we did see a bit of Pelech playing with Dobson, but I don't see that as becoming a regular thing. The person who's going to take that spot could be a really interesting battle come training camp.
So who are we thinking here? I mean, Sebastian Aho is a name. Thomas Hickey, you know, talk about the opposite of the future. Like, this is a guy, a blast from the past, who is still there, right? He's still under contract, I believe.
Yes, he has one more year left at $2.5 million.
So that'll be interesting. You know, they're paying him money. He's still pretty serviceable, maybe as a sixth defenseman. And then obviously, you know, talk about prospects. We have a guy, Samuel Bolduc, in the minor leagues. Is this his time to shine? Is it Bode Wild's time to shine? When will Robin Salo be ready? You know, there are a lot of names here that are very, very interesting. Do any of these names on this list stand out for this season and also long-term?
In terms of long-term, I really like Bolduc, but I want to mention Aho for a second because he makes the most sense when you look at what kind of player left. The kind of player that left was Letty. Great puck mover, a lot of offensive skill, put up a lot of assists last year. Aho has the potential to do something very similar. However, like Letty, but to a much higher degree, he tends to make a lot of defensive mistakes, whether it be turnovers in the neutral zone or just losing his man in front of the net and allowing pucks to go in the net. I think that Bolduc would be the better long-term option, like I said. He's a really, really good skater, as well as a power play option, which is something that's always desirable. I watched some film on him, and he has a great shot, which is really valuable in this league.
It's interesting, you know, you didn't mention Bode Wild, but this is a guy who, when he was drafted, there was a lot of excitement around that pick. You know, I think a lot of people expected him to go in the first round. I think a lot of people see him as like an NHL body, an NHL, just the skill level, the tool set of an NHL player. What do you make of him? Do you think he has a chance to be in this league?
I do. But I just want to put out there, he is, of all the guys Isles have, Aho, Bolduc, Hickey, Salo, Wild is the only one that is a right defenseman. And the spot that the Islanders are missing on right now is a left defenseman, you know, and it's very difficult. I mean, you could play Wild on the right side with Green and then maybe have Mayfield with Dobson. I think it all comes down to how much do you trust Dobson? How much do you trust Mayfield? And how much do you trust Green? Like, what kind of load are you expecting to put on these players? Because let's say, like last year, you know, we talked about how Dobson was going to take that Devontae's role. And while he did do that, Nick Letty also picked up a lot of the offensive slack there. So I don't know, this year, do we expect to see Dobson finally get that offensive production, especially on the power play? I don't know.
Well, let's talk about Dobson for a second. You know, Corey Pronman actually put him on the prospect list, which is interesting because I think a lot of people would say he's graduated from the system. He's played in the NHL a whole season. He had an additional playoffs under his belt. What do we think of him? What sort of role will he have this season and in the long term?
I mean, for starters, power play one. He is the guy in the power play. We don't have Letty anymore. he's going to be our power play quarterback for years to come, and hopefully we can build it around him, especially with Wahlstrom in the corners taking one-timers, you know, between the two of them, and Barzell moving around, along the sideboards trying to find an open man or take a shot. It could be a much better special teams this season.
He's got a good shot. You know, he doesn't have the shot that, like, grabs the headlines like Pollock's or what Johnny Boychuk used to have, but his shot is often on net. He has – I really like his shot, and I think he sees lanes, and I think he creates lanes for himself too, and I think that's very important. He's obviously an offensive-minded defenseman, but, yeah, I mean, he's so young, and I think something that's always, like, lost when we talk about young defensemen is that it usually takes guys a really long time to figure things out. A lot of the top defensemen had really ugly first seasons. I mean, I'm thinking Adam Pellick. We've had this conversation in the past when the Islanders protected him in the expansion draft. It was like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? But then they defensemen take a long time to develop, and Dobson's already pretty well-rounded at the age of 21. 2018 draft pick, that's pretty solid. So I don't know. I mean, there is definitely a lot to like with him.
So here's my question for you. Do you trust Dobson to play with, it could be any of these names, Aho, Bolduc, Salo. Do you trust him to play with one of those players yet?
I don't think so, because you're asking a young guy to clean up after another young guy's mistakes. And, you know, I think there's a real benefit to having an older guy anchor pairing with a younger guy, even if the younger guy's cleaning up. Like, it's very, very difficult to play defense in this league. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I guess that leads me to my next question and the follow-up after that. So do you trust Mayfield to play with an Aho or a Bolduc or Sala? Is that the kind of player you want him to be with? Because while Mayfield is defensive-minded, is it enough?
I think the question is going to boil more down to, do the Islanders have a choice? You know, is there an alternative? And I guess going external outside of the organization, maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Mayfield, in my mind, is the type of guy who needs to play with, you know, another defenseman who's going to clean up after his mistakes. And he plays a very specific game, all rough and tumble in the boards, rough in front of the net. You need a guy to complement that, and you probably want that guy to be more responsible. But look, at the end of the day, it's just the reality of the sport that salary caps dictate who you can keep. The Islanders lost Devontae's, the Islanders lost Nick Leddy, the Islanders lost Johnny Boychuk, obviously the last of whom, you know, to injury. I don't think the Islanders really have a choice. I think Mayfield's going to have to step up into that role, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think that if we can move Mayfield to the left side, and he's trustworthy on that side, and we can count on him for good minutes every night, put him with Dobson and see what happens there. That'd be our second line pairing. You have a defensive-minded guy in Mayfield who may not be able to make up for mistakes from an Aho or a Bolduc or a Bode Wild, for that matter. But Dobson is, you know, he's been in the league a couple of years now. He's been with the team even longer, even if he wasn't playing so much that first year. And then you can have Green kind of help out one of the young kids or some other player, you know, kind of shifting in and out of the lineup.
Okay, so the other day I sent you this over WhatsApp about Andy Green. Apparently, this like advanced stats guy, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I'm not a part of my phone right now. He put out like a list of like the 20 best defensemen in hockey at winning puck battles along the board. I think that would, or maybe not even along the board, it's just winning puck battles. And Andy Green was number one in the NHL. What? But also, I mean, kudos to that guy. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
There were some great stats there. And this was some, it was from, I don't know his name, but the what from what you sent me, JFresh Hockey, and the data is from InStats. The data on Andy Green is really interesting. And I also really like the puck battle win percentage, which had Nick Leddy at number one, ranked at the bottom of the list. Nick Leddy was at the bottom. So I guess, I mean, if Mayfield can handle Leddy's puck battle abilities, then he could probably handle a young guy, right? I think, can we make that assumption?
Possibly. I mean, different players for sure, but very possibly. But yeah, I mean, those stats were like mind-blowing. It's always really interesting to see what like these statisticians are kind of getting up to. I mean, like it's so much more beyond like the box score now. Like everything's like the advanced stats, and you can like get the, these ridiculously detailed breakdowns. It's so cool. Like to see these stats about Matt Barzal, what was it? Like he's like the most, he like does like the most deep of any forward in the NHL or something. And Nick Leddy was like up there in the top five of defense. It's just interesting.
Yeah, no. And if you think those stats are great, imagine what the team isn't sharing with us.
That's always, and you know, Elliot Friedman had that conversation on his podcast the other day. He said, sometimes advanced stats of a player won't look great. And you're like, wow, this team is like so advanced stats minded. How can that team still acquire a player? But the truth is, like the intel that these teams have like privately that they don't share to everybody else is probably unbelievable. It's scary to think what they're tracking. Every step that these guys take on the ice, wow, it's really, really, really cool. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's always fun. I like going, you know, to NHL.com and like filtering through some of the shooting stats, not like all the Corsi and all that kind of fancy stuff. I just like seeing what kind of shots different players are taking. Where are they taking them from? Like backhand shots, forehand shots, who's getting shots from right in front of the net? Those are rebounds, deflections, all that kind of stuff. I'm very interested in all that.
We're talking about advanced stats, and we're talking about trying to fill in this Islanders depth chart. Again, another thing we had a conversation about before the show is the Islanders have holes on this roster, places to fill in. So how do we see this developing? Well, I guess we can start off with the most obvious one, which is the first line. Islanders Liam Shore is pretty much a lock to be on Matt Barzal's wing. Who's the other winger here? Who's it going to be?
Well, I can tell you that it will be one of, well, I should say not one of three, one of two, because I do not think it'll be Josh Bailey. So one of Oliver Wahlstrom or Kyle Palmieri. I feel like it's worth exploring the Kyle Palmieri option and easing Wahlstrom into that role, especially since, like I keep mentioning, like Palmieri has never played with Lee. That could be like a super line. That could be, the chemistry there could be amazing. It could also just not work at all. But he was our trade deadline acquisition. We signed him for an additional 4 years. I feel like you have to try him out on the top line.
So if Palmieri goes to line one, and I happen to agree with that. I mean, when the Islanders acquired Palmieri at the trade deadline, so much of the rationale is that you lost Lee, a first line winger. You need to replace him with someone. You need to put someone on Barzal's line. So if you bring him in to be Barzal's line mate, give him more of a shot than you did last year. So let's say, assuming that the first line is Barzal, Lee, and Palmieri, where do they go the second line? It's probably centered by Brock Nelson, right?
Yeah, definitely centered by Nelson with Beauvillier on the wing. If they wanted to keep the line that's pretty much been together since the playoffs in the bubble with Josh Bailey playing on the right wing, they could do that and have Wahlstrom play with Pageau and now Prise. Those are some really balanced, and obviously the fourth line as well. So those are some really nice, well-balanced lines. And my goal for this season is not just for Wahlstrom to have a great season, to play well, and to increase his role, but I kind of want to see Bailey's role decrease. He's a good player, but I think it's time that other guys move past him on the depth chart. So by the end of the season, I want to see him on the third line, whether that means Palmieri is playing on the second or the first, Wahlstrom first, second. I don't know. It really depends on how that chemistry works out with Palmieri and Lee. But that's my goal for this season. I want to see Wahlstrom at least on the second line.
It's fascinating because as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking back to 2 years ago, the first time that the Islanders really made a run. Obviously, that was the year they made it to the conference finals. They lost in six to Tampa. And just thinking about the third line then, where Jean-Gabriel Pageau was a mid-season trade acquisition. And who is it? Who are his line mates? Like Derek Brassard and Michael Dahlcol. You know,
that third line was such a problem that year.
It was such
like
a problem.
That was the biggest thing that was like causing issues. Who and was so it last year?
Just Komarov? Thinking about that, like they have four, like you said, extremely well-rounded lines. Like that's awesome. And so yeah, you lose Jordan Eberle, a guy who's put up a lot of points, who's played on the Hulk wing for a while. But you've got four very balanced lines. And you know what? even without a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko, even without a, I don't know, Johnny Gaudreau, whatever big name you want to throw out there, and obviously those names would be nice, of course, there is something to be said for what the Islanders are bringing out there next season. And obviously, a lot of that's going to depend on health, and a lot of that's going to depend on chemistry, especially if you're putting a new guy on Barzal's wing, especially if you're mixing up the third line again. But there's a good balance on that offense. And again, they're probably going to struggle a little bit to score goals. They always have under Barry Trotz. But hey, you fix the power play a little bit, and you have four well-rounded lines, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to make a deep playoff run and win the freaking cup. You know, that's the goal. That's the only goal at this point.
That is the only goal. It's actually interesting. So you mentioned, yeah, we're four lines deep, but we have very different lines as well. That third line, let's just say that Wahlstrom's playing in the third line. Wahlstrom, Pageau, and Prise. Pageau is obviously an all-around player and does well in his defensive zone. Wahlstrom's very young. I don't recall Prise being exceptional in his own zone. So that's mostly an offensive line that just happens to win faceoffs. That line could put up. Can he put up 50 goals? Is that a hot take? Is that too many? I don't know. I mean, say you get 8 goals, 9 goals from Prise. That's not a lot to ask.
We've had a lot of conversations over the years about, especially the first line, underperforming, not scoring. And I think a lot of the times the task has fallen kind of to the fourth line to pick up the slack. Now we have a third line to look forward to. We can say, this is the line that when Barzal isn't scoring, when even the second line, like Beauvillier and Nelson, go cold, we have another line that we can put out there and score goals. And yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, like you said, Pageau, very, very, very responsible in his own zone. Very impressive player. But the rest of that line, and even Pageau, these are scorers. These are guys who, two of them have made a living scoring goals, and the other one will make a living scoring goals. And so that's very, very interesting. And there's a lot to be said about what's going on here, what Lou Lamoriello's doing. There's a lot to like. I guess switching gears to defense now, we had a little bit of a conversation here, and you spoke, would you be comfortable with Scott Mayfield with a kid? Would you be comfortable with Noah Dobson with one of the younger guys? What do you see the pairings being going into the season?
All right, let's just go right off the bat and say Pelech Kulak. Let's just get that over with. I said it before, I'll say it again.
You know, I've never thought of it this way. They might be the best pairing in hockey. And that's wild. But they honestly probably are, right? They're that good.
Defensively, they're pretty tough. They're both very good defensive defensemen, forgetting their offensive prowess, Kulak especially. And we saw some really nice like signs from Pelech that, you know, he can move the puck into the zone and actually, you know, get a few goals on the board even. They're really, really good. Like, you cannot understate it enough. I think it's finally over the idea that they're just playing an Islanders system. No. They are good.
And I mean, they are as good as basically anybody else in the league. And you want to point to like one thing that has propelled the Islanders the last few seasons. You could argue for sure the goaltending and Barry Trotz's system, but that first pair, none of this happens without a first pair that you can roll out, that you can trust in the biggest situations, the biggest games. And that's what these guys have done. So really, really impressive. So with that in mind, we have the first pair. What are the other two?
Oh my gosh, this is so tough. I'm gonna say Mayfield and Dobson. I honestly, before we started this, I was like, I really don't know. Maybe they're gonna do maybe they'll put Mayfield in the third line with Green. They'll trust Dobson with someone younger, but no, why would they do that? But I think if Mayfield plays on the left side and starts getting used to it early in the season, I think that it could work. Green can play the third line. And I'm going to say Bolduc. I really, really like him. I really like Bolduc. A quick note, Green does play both sides. So I guess technically if we wanted to put Green with Mayfield on the third line, that could happen also. But I think most likely Green plays the right side with Bolduc.
Wow. That would be interesting and a lot of trust placed in Bolduc, but there aren't many times that I can remember people being so confident about a guy who has really never been on the island before, but it sounds like for good reason. He sounds like a very promising young player, and the Islanders need that, especially defensively, especially, they keep needing to replenish their guys in the back end.
There are some obviously some big arguments for other players. I think the most obvious being he's just so young, he's just so raw. It takes a while to learn the Islanders system. But right now, no matter who we bring in, it's going to be external. I know technically it's considered internal if you're bringing them up from your pipeline, but when the Islanders system is in play, everything is external. It takes time. Let's have a guy who's coming up in training camp, who's been with the organization for a while. Let's see what they can do for us.
I guess my last question, and to close this out, is there a chance that the Islanders make a trade, that they sign a player? Is it possible that they're not done?
It is. It's always possible. Lou can do anything. I mean, yeah. I mean, right. We mentioned our four lines, right? We have Richard Panik, who's sitting on the sideline, as well as Leo Komarov. I think that Panik is actually a Clutterbuck replacement. He is not going to make it through the season. There is no way. Two shortened seasons. No way Clutterbuck stays healthy. I just can't see that happening. Panik has a second year left in his deal. Clutterbuck's deal is expiring. He is the fourth line replacement for Cal Clutterbuck. As sad as it will be to see him go, but Komarov's dead weight in terms of cap. So is Hickey, unless Hickey plays on defense for the Isles this season, but I'm not sure.
I totally forgot about Richard Panik. I totally forgot about Leo Komarov. It's actually a really good thing that there are guys waiting there who, well, maybe not with Leo, because I'm still afraid that he's going to take playing time from the younger guys. There's also Kiefer Bellows, who we didn't mention. He's
Who
another
is
guy.
unsigned?
Right. So he's unsigned.
Bellows, Quavila, and Goligoshev are all unsigned still.
Interesting. Okay. So obviously we'll have to follow that. And I mean, there's also, we've mentioned in the past, and we'd be remiss not to mention him again. But there's also Simon Holmstrom, who maybe one of these days will break out, and that'll be really great. But of course, it's possible that he won't. We will see what happens. It's an exciting time to be an Islanders fan, and there are a lot of question marks still heading into the season. But there's a lot of good stuff too. So.
I guess to finish off, we should, give some big dates. The Isles open training camp on September 22nd. So today we're recording this on the 14th of September. And then the actual regular season starts on October 14th against the Carolina Hurricanes, where they go on a 13-game road trip until November 20th, where they face off against the Calgary Flames.
Well, as always, thank you for tuning in. I'm Justin Weiss,
Kenny Shear.
and thank you for listening.